Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32. This can be found on page 1161 of your pew Bible. When we surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are made new in him. As we grow in our knowledge of and love for Christ, we are urged to embrace God's work in us and put away our previous sins. A reading from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the 17th verse. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
In 2015, Stanwich blessed me with a sabbatical, and Ingrid and I went to Europe and did many coastal walks. We ended up in County Kerry in Ireland, and we were doing the Kerry Way. Some beautiful walks, some energizing walks. And one day we came back and we met a local, and he asked what we were doing. And we said, we want to go on the Kerry Way to Waterville, the next city over or town over. It's where Charlie Chaplin came from. And he said, well, why would you do that on the way? He said, if you just go up here to the ridge and follow the ridge, you'll see some of the most spectacular views you've ever seen. So that's what we had, panoramic views. Here's a couple shots that we took while we were there. That's Ingrid trying to catch up. And you can see the ridge. It's quite impressive. We could see water in every direction. It was God's creation speaking. But something happened on the ridge. We ran into a detour. And multiple detours.
We had seen the Dodge commercial enough to know that we did not want to mess with those horns. So we went out around them, and not realizing it, we never got back to the ridge. Where we ended up coming down the mountain was some dried out bogs, and we believed they were waterfalls that had been there at one time. So we would take a step and drop 10 feet. Ingrid had a bad back and knee, and I've not been scared many times in my life, but I was afraid. It was so bad, I said to her, let's just try to roll for a while. And we rolled down the hill. We kept plodding away. I had shorts on, and there were briars, and my legs were just bleeding all over the place. What was meant to be a two-hour hike on the ridge ended up being 7 hours. Spoiler alert, we made it. Today we're going to talk about being on a pilgrimage. Paul's been pressing us into our identity. That's the rubric we've been using to look at his letter to the Ephesians. But we're going to see that, as we've been saying in the first three chapters through the indicative, we have a declared identity, but then there's a lived out identity that we get to participate. And Paul's going to invite us through the imperative to be renewed daily in our identity with Christ. So let's go to the text. Few elements I want to pull out of it for us. It's a long text, so I won't be able to preach all of it. So I'm just going to pull out two images. And I hope you'll read the rest of it later, because I think there's things the Holy Spirit may want to speak to us by the different parts. But the first image is found in verse 17. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do." Now, whenever you see the word Gentile in the Bible, you have to figure out what the context is, because Paul's just told us recently, as Gentiles, we had been engrafted into the household of God. And even though we were strangers to the people of God, we have become people of faith. Probably a better translation would be, don't walk as the pagans walk. That's your old system. And Paul likes this word, to walk. He uses it 30 times in his letters, 7 in Ephesians alone. It has this idea of, well, there's regular walking. It says when Jesus walked by the sea, that used the word peripateo. I never made this connection. There was another principal in the first service, and he was telling me he teaches his teachers to teach peripatetically, which is walking among the students and being engaged. Paul likes to use this to speak of our comportment, our conduct. He uses it so much that in old translations, it says how you live. So this identity that's declared of us, but there's this identity that we live out. He used this earlier in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." He's going to go on to say, because of grace and this new relationship that we're loved by God and we're saved by him, there's new things that God has created for us to walk into. The beginning of chapter 4, he told us that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. It's actually the second imperative. Remember all these things Paul's been saying that are true about us. Now he's going to say, just walk in light of everything that's true about you. Be you. Be you, the transformed you in Christ. In chapter 5, he's going to remind us that we are to walk in love, and we are to walk as children of light. And later he's going to say, so pay attention to how you're walking. Paul talks about this regularly. He mentions one time we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We're to walk in a manner worthy of God. To the church in Rome, he says, walk according to the Spirit. And so he says to the church in Galatia, keep step with the Spirit. Paul is saying there's something rich in you. It's called Christ. And you're to allow yourself to walk it out. Now, I've been doing a lot of grammar because Ephesians has some really interesting things, indicative, imperative, but there's also voice. We've been told up to now in the passive voice that God has put all of these things in us. We are strengthened. That's a passive. But now it's an active voice. This is important because I've been telling us all along,
We are receivers of the bounty of God. We are not achievers in our spiritual life. We only get there by receiving what God has for us, not by achieving. But there still is effort. We don't work for our salvation, but we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It takes initiative. Paul will say this to the church in Colossae, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Are you following what Paul's saying? You have a declared identity, and then you have a lived out identity. Sociology, we talk about backstage, front straight, stage living. But let the backstage, who you are in Christ, be the front stage, that it would come out in everyday life. Second image that Paul has is in verses 22 to 24. He says this, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul likes this notion as well. Put off and put on. You put off the old self, the nature that's stuck in sin, that's being transformed, and you put on Christ. You actually take action to put him on. Get up in the morning and say, Christ, I know you're living in me. Now I'm putting you on. You who were rich and took your glory robe off to come down and save me, I'm putting that glory robe on now because I am royalty. I'm in you. And I want your life to come flowing through me. See, there's implications of what we've been talking about. We've been celebrating all of the things that are said true of us since the beginning. We were adopted into the family. We were chosen by God. We have the name called beloved because of him. We were ransomed and rescued from our sin. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We were given the Holy Spirit, the spirit of revelation and wisdom, so that we would know the inheritance and the hope and the power that is ours in Christ Jesus. The same power that he executed in Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. We are his workmanship. He saved us out of his love. He's the one preparing works for us that we should walk into them. We used to be aliens and strangers, but now we belong to God's family. We're a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Are you coming with me on this one? We're stewards of his blessing. We get to go boldly before the throne of grace, repeatedly calling upon him, and he will meet us with the richness of the Father, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform everything about our lives. And then last week, we are situated in this maturing, growing family that we would resemble Christ more and more. But this is done through imitation. See, it's the power of God made available to us, but we press into the Christ life. In verse 20, Paul says this, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Think about that phrase. We need to stop in our Bible every once in a while. We would normally say, that's not what you learned about Christ, or what you learned about the way of Christ. He says, that's not what you learned. That's not how you learn Christ. He becomes the substance of everything in us. The cool thing in this is that he says, put on the new self, which is Christ, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's already created. You don't have to create it. Just put it on. Seriously. Just get up every day and put it on and let Christ be your everything. Paul then is going to run off on a number of imperatives. Verse 25 is therefore, and they're hard-hitting and they're direct. I'm not going to go through each one of them, but I encourage you to give Holy Spirit space in your life and go through them at some other time today or during the week or with your life group and say, God, what is keeping me from living out my identity in Christ? Because he's going to list a number of things that show a comportment that is not necessarily linked to Christ. Let me just highlight two. Verse 27, he says, give no opportunity for the devil. Those of you who have been reading your Bible for a long time know that it's the word foothold. It's the word topos, which is don't give the enemy place. Don't give him space in your life. Paul's talking to us as Christians. He's not talking to the pagans at this point. He says, don't cooperate with darkness, because when you cooperate with darkness, you're giving the enemy place in your own soul. And he'll take advantage of that and undercut you in your walk. The second thing he's going to say in verse 30 is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat what I said 2 weeks ago. Yes, sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Not that he's angry at us. He's angry for us, because he knows there's a better way. But what grieves the Holy Spirit most is when he wants to do this in us, we try to do it ourselves. He's sitting there waiting for us to plug into the eternal spiritual energy source. And we would try to do this in our own strength. And I don't know how it works with God and his motions, but can you imagine the Holy Spirit in heaven going, I just want to do it for them. And they're trying to do it on their own. I call this the open door, closed door principle. I want to open my door, my spiritual doors, to all that God wants to release in me. And I want to close the door to whatever darkness wants to do. And we do that in Jesus' name. That's what we've been empowered to do. So what's my so what for us this morning? We get to be Jesus in this world. We get to be Jesus in this world. It's not that we have to be Jesus. It's not that we should be Jesus. We get to be him. I'm doing my quiet time in Hebrews right now. In the first chapter, it says of Jesus, he was the exact imprint of God's nature. If we're the body of Christ, we're the exact imprint of Jesus' nature. Well, not exact. We're working on it. But we get to be his presence in this world. Somewhere along the line, we agreed with some of our culture's views that we need to be quiet about Jesus, and we need to tone it in a little bit. No, we need to tone it up. People need the Christ who's transformed us inside. He's waiting to release his presence through us to a world that is needy. We sang that hymn this morning. I've never paid attention to these words so closely before, but I knew what I was preaching today. But the last verse says, so fill our hearts that all may view your life in us and turn to you. I don't want people to view Christ in me so they think I'm wonderful. I want them to view Christ in me so they get to experience the wonder of being in Christ. And we get to do that. See, Christ is our substitute, but he's also our substance. He took our place, but he's also become the raw stuff of our spiritual life that gets worked out in this world. And you carry Jesus everywhere you go. Come on. That's good news. That's good news of the kingdom for people that are living in a broken world. So now what? Live from the inside out. Just live from the inside out. In Christ is your identity. With Christ is your union. As Christ is your calling. Do you see how Paul's been setting us up in this letter? There hasn't been any as Christ yet. I'm actually going to write a book one day, Identity in the Prepositions. I keep saying I'm going to write these books. It never happens. I've got too much to do. But think about it. When we settle in on who we are in Christ, our identity, and all that's ours in our union with Christ, then we can live as Christ in this world, being his presence in multiple ways. We live in a now, not yet kingdom. You are saved, but you are being saved. You are wearing this garment of righteousness, but you're learning how to be righteous. You are wearing this garment of holiness, but you're slowly walking into the holiness. It's so slow, some of you don't know what's really happening. But some of us looking on the outside can see it. This is the work of God in us that comes through us that brings transformation in the world. Paul says it this way to the church in Rome: salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. And so no matter where you are on the path, get back on the path, because God has a better way for you. Theologically, we say it this way: our declared identity is imputed to us by the finished work of Christ. I would add this: our lived identity is imparted through us through the never-finishing work of the Spirit. And the Spirit is available to accomplish everything that He wants for us and for the people that we meet on the way. We just need to appropriate the very thing that is His. So 7 hours later, we came off of that pilgrimage. Last part, we just rolled. We had to go over a barbed wire fence. We ended up in these people's backyard. Turned out we had been their entertainment for the last 3 hours. They didn't have Netflix in Ireland, so this was the next best option. Three couples met us out in front of the house. They were just curious, and then they heard our accent, and they were no longer curious. We said, we're trying to get to Waterville. And they said, oh, that's about 3 miles down the road. We can get a taxi for you, because my legs were all cut up. We were looking really bad. And Ingrid, being the stubborn Norwegian that she is, and Chuck, being the stubborn Welshman that he is, said, no, we're going to walk the last 3 miles. We would do that for a pilgrimage. What would we do for the spiritual life of Christ running through us? Stanwich, it's time to pick up the pilgrimage. There are a lot of things that we invest in and put a lot of effort in and a lot of time that are good things, but they're not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is to be not only declared Christ, but to see Christ living through us for the world that needs it. So let's turn up the heat on the pilgrimage. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.